Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today from Exodus 33, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you've been telling me, lead these people forward, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Yet you've assured me, I know you by name, and think highly of you. Now if you do think highly of me, show me your ways so that I may know you, and so that you may really approve of me. Remember too that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "I'll go myself and I'll help you." Moses replied, "If you won't go yourself, don't make us leave here, because how will anyone know that we have your special approval, both I and your people, unless you go with us? Only that distinguishes us, me and your people, from every other people on the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I'll do exactly what you've asked because you have my special approval and I know your name." Moses said, "Please show me your glorious presence." The Lord said, "I'll make all my goodness pass in front of you and I'll proclaim before you the name, the Lord. I will be kind to whomever I wish to be kind, and I will have compassion to whomever I wish to be compassionate. But," the Lord said, "you can't see my face because no one can see me and live." The Lord said, "Here is a place near me where you will stand beside the rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I'll set you in a gap in the rock and I'll cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take away my hand and you will see my back, but my face won't be visible." Now, reading from the New Testament, Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending him with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, "Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs." What do you think? Which one of these three was the neighbor to the man who encountered thieves? Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy towards him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Yesterday, my son Zachary was in a soccer tournament. He's actually in a soccer tournament again today. I'm waiting for an update on my watch to see how they did. See, they had 2 games yesterday. They lost them both. The first game was 0-5. The second game was 2-3. It was closer.
But I was talking to Zachary afterwards, and he says, you know, really, I sort of feel okay about it. Because apparently the tournament organizers, the night before the tournament, contacted Zach's team and said, listen, we have to make some changes. You guys have to play teams at a higher skill level than you. So this was just sort of sprung on them the day before. So that they didn't win their two games, they're feeling okay about that because at least one of these teams they played before and did much worse, so they're showing some great improvement. I have some video of my phone of Zach. There was a penalty kick. I'm not talking about a PK that's right up on the goal, but there was a foul a little bit further off, and you know there wasn't like the line of players. And just watch this gorgeous kick sail up, and it even, at least from my perspective, the ball even turned a little bit. There's a little spin on it, right? He doesn't bend it like Beckham, but there was a little spin on it. Now, if you can see, maybe we had some conversation earlier today. My face is a little red, and if I weren't wearing long sleeves, you would see the bright red on my arms because I got a little bit of a sunburn. See, there were two games, so we were there in the sun for hours, and I just wasn't thinking ahead on sunscreen. But really, I don't care about that. Because I got to go and I got to see his games. Some of his games are on Sunday mornings and I don't get to go. But these games were yesterday and I got to go, and it's just like there's something about being there. There's something about seeing it and experiencing it with my own eyes. So they'll go to today's game, and I hope that they do well. Like I said, I'm waiting to hear word. Afterwards, they're having a lunch party because one of their players is moving to the East Coast. His dad's in the Marines. But what they don't know yet, but I feel confident saying here because they're playing soccer, they're not going to hear me. See, one of the players' dads works for this little organization called the San Diego Padres. They're going to go and they're going to be in the Padres' box for today's game. Oh. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to go to a Padres game, especially in a season where they're doing so well. It's one thing to watch it on TV, and it's another thing to go and to be there and to experience it. I was talking with somebody earlier today who told me what a great week it had been because there had been time to celebrate a loved one's graduation, a family member's graduation. There had been an opportunity to go to a wedding and connect with friends. We've spent more than a year not being able to experience each other. And it hurts. And now, we're just beginning to be able to experience each other. It was sort of a big deal when we were able to come to church and be in the sanctuary. And yes, we've got some distance between us. And yes, we're wearing masks. And yes, we're waiting for some of us impatiently, for more people to be vaccinated so that we can maybe even take off our masks and maybe even see one another's faces again. I'm waiting, maybe you are too. Because there's something about experiencing each other that moves us and touches our souls. I told you before that I'm a big proponent of camping ministries because I feel like every time I get to go to camp, more often now I'm a counselor than a camper, but every time I get to go to camp, I have this experience of God. And some people talk about, you know, you go up in the mountains and so somehow God is closer there. I don't believe that to be true. But I believe when I get out of the busyness and all of the things, that I open myself more fully to the presence of God in those kinds of places. And I experience God. I wonder if you've had an experience of God. I hope that you have. There are lots of ways to experience God. I often experience God through music, through beautiful harmonies. I'm one who likes modern music in addition to traditional music. Most often when I experience God in music, it's just well-done music. And maybe it's an orchestra and, 50 to 100 voices. Maybe it's that, and maybe it's that rock band. Either way, I feel like I can experience God in that. Maybe you experience God in the reading of the scripture. Maybe you experience God in the message. Maybe you experience God in the children's time. Maybe you experience God in the prelude or the postlude. Maybe you experience God in the fellowship that takes place after worship. Maybe you experience God by serving as an usher. Maybe you experience God in greeting one another in church. Maybe you experience God in giving of your gifts for, you know, numbers and math when it comes to accounting or stewardship. Maybe you experience God by leading people on some kind of mission trip or some kind of service to the community. I would sort of guess that we experience God in more than one way. The point that I'm trying to make is that I think experiencing God is critical to our faith. You know, we're starting the season after Pentecost, and the appropriate color for the season after Pentecost is green. And one way to think about that is it's a season of growth. It's an opportunity to grow in our faith and our spirituality and our discipleship. The assumption I make is that we all want to grow in our faith and our spirituality and our discipleship. The assumption I'm making is that we don't want to just be static in our faith. And in our Wesleyan tradition, we might agree that scripture, tradition, reason, and experience helps us to grow in our faith, our spirituality, our discipleship. I'm making some assumptions that you want to experience God. Maybe you have, and perhaps you want to again. That you want to grow in your faith, your spirituality, your discipleship. I think those are fairly safe assumptions, and I want you to know that you're not alone in that desire to grow in this way. This desire particularly to experience God. The first text that Marjorie read this morning was the ancient text of Moses saying that he wants to experience God. God, I want to see you. God, I want to know you. I want to know you more fully. Moses says, look, you've been telling me to lead your people forward, but you haven't told me whom you're going to send with me. You said, I know you by name. I think highly of you. But if you do, show me so that I might know that you really approve of me. Seems for Moses, maybe words of affirmation are one of his love languages. Me too. Remember, God, these are your people. God says, I will go myself and I will help you. Moses then has questions, right? We talked last week about the importance of questions. Moses says, how's anyone going to know? Only that distinguished, how does he say it? He says, how will anyone know that we have your special approval, both I and your people, unless you go with us? Only that distinguishes us, me and your people, from every other people on earth. God says, I'll do what you've asked. I imagine a comforting tone. Because you do have my approval, because I do know you by name. Then Moses gets to what I think he was aiming at the entire time. Please, God, show me your glorious presence. Let me see you, let me hear you, let me experience you. God, let me know who you are. I wonder if Moses, maybe like any of us, sometimes, even with his extraordinary experiences, I wonder if he too had moments of doubt. I hope we can agree that Moses was an extraordinary leader. Frankly, friends, in the short year that I've been here, I've grown to understand that this is a congregation filled with extraordinary leaders. Maybe we might find some comfort knowing that Moses needed those affirmations and those experiences too. You know what this reminds me of a little bit? The story of Thomas. I don't like to call him Doubting Thomas anymore, because all he did was ask for the same thing that the other disciples got. But when Jesus was resurrected, Thomas just said, Jesus, I need to see you. I need to know that you're there. Now, one of the things we may observe about our sacred text, about the richness of these incredible stories, is in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, the stories of God's presence are very different than what we read in the New Testament. And if you're like me, you might wonder, like, why does God show up in such tangible ways in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, but God shows up in different ways in the New Testament? God shows up in Jesus, absolutely. God shows up in the Holy Spirit, absolutely. And I'm just saying it's different than the way God shows up in the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament. Maybe you have that question too. My very short answer to that, by the way, in case you're wondering, I think humanity changed. I don't think that God changed. I affirm an unchanging God. The nature of God doesn't change. That's how I think about it. But I think that people changed, that we needed something different, and God was paying attention, and God responded. There's lots of theological talk about that difference between the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, of those experiences of God. But what about today? Many of us who are people of faith would say, I'm still waiting for Jesus to come back. In the meantime, we might find ourselves relying on the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Is that our experience of God? Are our experiences of God more supernatural? I don't know if you've ever had a supernatural experience of God. I've only had one. And frankly, it scared me. I thought I needed to go see somebody, because I heard a voice that wasn't mine. But I knew it was something. I have friends who will say to me, oh, you know, I was talking to God the other day and God said this thing. I kind of envy that. That's not my experience with God. I see God more often in other ways. Our New Testament gives us an idea of what I would suggest is a way that we might see God. The familiar story of the Good Samaritan. The one who was so outcast, the one who was so reviled in the tradition of the time, is the one who responds to God's call and responds to God's strengthening and responds to God's enriching love and acts as though they're different because of it. Once again, like so many times in the Gospels, it's not the religious insiders who do the right thing. It's those who are the outcasts. I'm not talking about putting down all religious leaders. I think that would be self-deprecating. I'll tell you a story. Maybe I've told you this story before. About my pastor growing up, one of my pastors growing up, Al Rhodeswick. I remember he had written a musical for the church. And I had the privilege of having a part written for me. And so we'd finished up a rehearsal, and it was this brand new sanctuary. Nobody else had been in except us who were rehearsing this musical. We had this grand opening planned. So we'd finished up rehearsal, and, you know, I got chatty like I do. You've met me. And we were walking out, and there was this person outside. It looked like a person who hadn't had an opportunity for a shower in a while. The clothes were disheveled and dirty. Face was dirty. Hair hadn't been washed in a while. It's a profound experience for me because this person came up, didn't talk to the teenager, which was fine. I was terrified. I hadn't learned. Went up to Al and asked for some money for some food. Al said, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you any money. Instead, I'd like to invite you out to dinner. I'd like to take you to dinner. I'd like to hear your story. I'd like to get to know you. I'm convinced that in that moment I saw God. Are there times when we see somebody do a profound and amazing thing? You're like, why on earth would you do that? Can we ask ourselves, is that a moment where we may have seen God? I've told you that I've had the privilege before this last year, for 6 years running, of being a part of an incredible ministry where people come together in a single room, and there's four long tables, and a meal is served, and conversations are had across these tables. And many of these folks present themselves in the same way that this man came up to Pastor Al, with clothes that are unwashed and dirty, and skin that is dirty, and hair that has been unwashed. But not just folks living on the street. People who live in nearby homes. People who were once on the street and are no longer. People who just come and feel compelled to sit across a table with someone who has a different life experience and hear their stories. I tell you, my friends, that it is in those interactions, it is observing these kinds of things, that I see the face of God. And of course, you may know the incredible story by Victor Hugo, put to music in one of the greatest musicals of all time, Les Mis. Where at the very conclusion, as Jean Valjean is taking his very last breath, even seeing a vision of Fantine, and they sing together the words, "To love another person is to see the face of God." The question we're addressing in our new sermon series is, where do we see God? It's my hope, my friends, that as we explore this today, that we understand that God is active and present and speaking and calling and empowering and strengthening. And that God is loving and God is redeeming. And if we think about these things in the context in which we've discussed this today, perhaps we have seen God. But friends, I would take it one step further. If we have seen God, I submit that we must be changed. If we are changed by seeing God, how can we take the action or be the person through whom others see God? My friends, I believe that God is with us. I believe that God is in us. I believe that God changes us. And I believe that others can see it and see God in us. Let us be the hands and feet of God.
By way of a response to our hearing of God's word in the scripture and in proclamation, I would invite us all to take a little while to reflect on the ways that we have experienced God in our lifetimes. You can do this right now as I'm speaking, or on your drive home, or your walk home. And once you have it, once you have in your head the ways that you have experienced God, whether that's in nature, or in music, or in words, or in other people, make a plan to do that thing once or twice or every day this week. Listen to a symphony. Dave's over there, I know. You're going to listen to some Beethoven, some Sibelius. I know. make a plan to talk to the person who makes you feel close to God, or listen to the music, or go out on a hike, or go to the ocean, whatever it is, at least once. Bonus points if you make a plan to do it 3 or 5 or 7 times this week. And may you experience God in that way, and if you do, I hope you will share.